Blog Talk Radio.
Some days it seems like it's so hard to get out of bed. So many issues facing me is coming to a head. I stand in needing your anointing, Lord, cover me, renew in me the right spirit, lead to that secret, sacred place with you. Make an atmosphere to hear from you. Restore me so I'll be renewed. You kept me here and you see me through.
Oh. God can and God will see us through, so have no fear. Oh, God can and God will. No matter the trial, He's God with Him. We win.
We win.
We win.
We win.
We win.
He's God with Him. We win.
When I didn't know the words, I thank God. Mama prayed for me. Late nights coming in, I find her asleep on her knees. All grown up now, I understand why she prays so much. Incline your ear, I need your touch.
I die a little every day, so I keep pressing down as I answer your call. Give me more of you. I want to win with you.
Good morning, good morning, and thank you for tuning in this morning. This is Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yokes of bondage. Again, I want to say welcome, 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 welcome. I'm your host, Dr. Maria Carey, President and CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries. And I certainly want to say happy belated Valentine's Day. Hallelujah. This is the month of love, but it also is Black History as well, but certainly I hope that God has blessed you to have an fantastic Valentine's Day. So it is my custom to start with announcements, and we're going to get right in because we have a good discussion on today. I want to announce that Amazing Grace School of Ministry, we will be starting classes soon. I'm currently in the preparation and gathering the material. We're going to do exactly what we did last year. The classes are now going to be online. They're going to be Thursday night. They're going to be from 7 to 9, but normally I end our discussion around 8:30, and they are definitely going to be on the phone line. I will be sending out information where you can register and get your registrations back to me. But the Lord has blessed me to bring my classes, Amazing Grace School of Ministry, online, meaning you call in, I will give you a certain number, as with my Blog Talk Radio on Saturday mornings, as we're having our discussion now, classes will be online as well. Praise the Lord for technology, y'all. Praise God. Hallelujah. So those of you that say, I can't get to the classroom, well, all you have to do is just call in and listen. And at the end of the hour, I open up the phone lines for discussions and questions. Amen. I also want to announce that the Lord has laid it upon my heart to have a coffee sip. And a coffee sip, we will give you a certain day. I'm going to put it, I want to project in March or April. But I want to have a discussion on Blog Talk with issues that are relevant and concerning us as individuals, as people of God. And that's coming, a coffee sip. And certainly if you have any topics that you want to discuss, I want to ask that you contact me at 309-750-7584. Again, if you have any topics of discussion, coffee sip is coming either in March or either in April, and we are going to discuss the issues, and we are going to open up the lines to have a heartfelt discussion with prayer and scriptures to address our issues that are facing us and are critical to us in this last and evil day. All right. Well, I want to make one more last announcement, and then we're going to get into our lesson for today. I will be speaking at Redeeming Grace Church of God in Christ, March the 17th at 4 p.m. Certainly, I want you to save that day, and I will be giving you the address to come and meet me there. And if you have any questions, you can always drop me a text at 309-750-7584. You can also email me at amazgraccmin@yahoo.com. Amen? All right. So let's get into this beautiful lesson. We've been talking about Love Brought Me Home. Last week we talked about who is man that God is mindful of us. The first time we talked about what is love and why God loves us. So now we're talking about love my enemy. Let's read the scriptures. Few. 5 verses 43 and 45. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which spitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be children of Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Luke chapter 6, verses 26 through 36. I'm sorry, I'm not 36, but 28. Verses 26 through 28. Woe unto you, when all men shall speak well of you, for so did the fathers to the false prophets. But I say unto you which hear, Love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Luke, this is the same chapter, chapter 6, but we're going down to verses 34 through 36. And they read, "And if you lean to them of whom you hope to receive, what thanks have ye? For sinners also lean to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good, and lean, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. But be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful." The song, "What the World Needs Now," was composed by Burt Bacharach, but was popularized by Dionne Warwick. You know the song. "What the world needs now is love, sweet love. That's just the only thing that there's just too little of." You know, I'm trying to sing the song, and y'all forgive me. But the words is, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone." And, of course, there are choruses to go into this song. But the meaning is, when we think of this song, what this world has and what this world has become, we can clearly see that that is exactly what the world needs. Can you imagine what would happen in your homes, your churches, among your friends, if you start loving them more and they start loving each other more? There certainly would be a difference. What would the world look like? It certainly would be a difference. There will be a change in this world if we love more. If everyone, believers, non-believers, start loving each other just 50% more, what a change would we have. If we would build others up and not tear them down, we see people upset and angry, killing others just this week. And you know, yesterday the news was filled with this situation, people getting killed, officers being harmed. And I said to my mother, when they were playing the news over and over again, that person is an African American. And yet you would see also, well, how you know, Dr. Carey, it was an African American? Because when you look at the situation surrounding what occurred, you know, so oftentimes we as African Americans might say, you know, if I get fired, I'm going to tear the place up. I'm just going to kill everybody in here. And if we look at this month being Black History, if we look at everything that the African American has gone through, the injustice, if we look at Black Matters, Black Lives Matters, and we see everything that has occurred, and we see the verdict that occurred on a police officer that killed an African American, and then we begin to see the hatred and the frustration, and we retaliate by trying to work things out on our own accord. But God doesn't want that. So we see stuff like that. And not only did we see the violence that occurred on yesterday, last week, Wednesday and Thursday was also anniversaries of mass shootings that occurred, one on Wednesday, which was in San Bernardino, California, and then one on Thursday, which occurred in Detroit, Michigan. So there is violence happening all over the place. Violence is even happening in our neighborhood. The two urban young African Americans that one said, look, you know, I'm upset, I'm angry, so I'm going to get a gun and I'm going to kill you. We see that so often, even this week, we see the violence, the robbery that occurred to the officer that was just in his home and was robbed and finally died from his injuries. But the Bible tells us to love one another in response to God's love for us. 1 John chapter 4, 9, verses 9 through 11 reads, "And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we may live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." 11, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another." 1 John, that same chapter, hitting, going all the way down to verse 21. "And this is the commandment have we from him, that he who loved God, loved his brother also." We have been talking about God's love for us. And so as God loves us, we are to walk in love. The Bible tells us to love our neighbors, to love our enemies as ourselves. And why does the Bible tell us that? Because of God's love. Now, when we study the attributes of God, we learn that one of these attributes is love. What is an attribute? It is a quality or feature regarded as a characteristic or that is inherited. It's an inherited part of someone or something. It's part of their character. It's part of who they are. It just oozes out of them because it is connected to them. It's like it's almost embedded. So when we look at the attribute of love, we can say that when we look at God's attribute, we can say that God's characteristic is one of love. God is love. So I think that this is one of the hardest attributes for us to get a hang of. God deals with us based on his goodness, his compassion, his concern, his generosity, instead of what we truly deserve. Because if we look back over our lives, certainly we can say that we haven't been perfect, but God loved us enough to continue to allow us to be here, to forgive us of our sins, to forgive us when we mess up and we mess up bad. So the best way that we have to receive and believe God's love for us is when we begin to bestow God's love towards others. I'm going to say that sentence again. The best way we can receive it and believe God loves us or believe God's love for us is when we begin to bestow God's love towards others. Meaning we need to give the same love that God gives us to others. The more of God's love we give away, the more God supplies us with love. It's the ultimate gift that keeps on giving. We are to love one. We are to love one. Each of us, we are to love one another, each of us deeply. So 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 22 reads, and this is the New Living Translation. Sometimes I like to get various translations because the King James Version can be a little hard to understand. So when we begin to study the Bible, we begin to use various texts, then we begin to understand plainly what God is saying to us. And when we understand the Word of God plainly, we can walk in that Word and apply that Word in our lives. Now, once we apply that Word, once we read that Word, once we ask God to allow that Word to manifest in us, then that Word is going to take on an active form. Yeah, the Word is alive, it's active. Let's get to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. And again, this is the New Living Translation. It reads, "You were cleansed from sin when you obeyed the truth. So now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart." And in the Greek would say philo, which refers to brotherly love. And we are to love because God has adopted us through Christ Jesus. And whether or not that person gets saved or not, that person is still a child of God, and we are to love them. Now, 1 Peter 4 and 8 reads, again, this is also the New Living Translation. It reads, "Most important, all of you, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins or a multitude of faults." When you want to get upset, and when that person gets on your last nerve, when that family member done something you just can't stand and you want to put them out, "Lord, help me to love." Bestowing God's love on others is an act of our will by faith. We believe that God's love is inexhaustible. It don't run out when we try our best to give it away. It was one of Jesus' last instructions to his disciples. It says in John 13 and 34, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." It's a commandment. This love that Jesus talked about is sacrificial. It's the ultimate test of whether or not we love each other. 1 John chapter 3, 16 verses 18 reads, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever has this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in words, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Giving that love to others, neighbors, enemies, those who have wronged us, means bestowing God's love. Now, when we bestow God's love, it doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. But God never promised that it would. However, it means that in the midst of our hurts, our pains, our struggling in this fallen world, you will have a deep sense of significance and affirmation, being eternally valued and accepted by God. Bestowing God's love to others means that we walk in his love and kindness. And yet we cannot do or give that love on our own account. It's not going to happen. We can't do it in this flesh, because this flesh is not saved and it never will be. But I want to get to this part. So in Matthew, and I'm going to add a couple more verses on to the verse I read in the beginning. So in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. Now, this time I'm going to read the English Standard Version of this verse, of these verses that I've already read in King James. Now, this is what it says. The top heading is love your enemies. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Pray for them, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collector do the same? 47. And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? 48. You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, to many Jews of Jesus' day, that statement was offensive. Any Messiah who would turn the other cheek was not the military leader they wanted to lead the revolt against Rome. Under Rome's oppression, they wanted retaliation against their enemies, whom they hated. But Jesus suggested a new radical response to injustice. Instead of demanding rights, give them up freely. According to Jesus, it was more important to give justice and mercy than to receive this. And of course, we are in the Black History Month, and we've got an example of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, who came and said, we are walking in love. So let's talk about verses 43 to 44. By calling us to non-retaliation, Jesus keeps us from taking the law into our own hands. By loving and praying for our enemies, we can overcome evil with good. The Pharisees interpreted Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18 as teaching that they should love only those who love them. And Psalms 139 verses 19 through 22 and Psalms 140 verses 9 through 11 as meaning that they should hate their enemies. But Jesus said we are to love our enemies. If you love your enemies and treat them well, you will truly show Jesus is Lord of your life. This is possible only for those who give themselves fully to God, because only He can deliver people from natural selfishness. We must trust the Holy Spirit to help us show love to those from whom we may not feel love. How can we be perfect? One, in character. In this life, we cannot be flawless, but we can aspire to be much like Christ as possible, demonstrating more perfection and sinless behavior. Two, in holiness. Like the Pharisees, we are to separate ourselves from the world's sinful values. But unlike the Pharisees, we are to be devoted to God's desires rather than our own, and carry His love and mercy into the world. Three, in maturity. We cannot achieve Christ-like character and holy living all at once, but must grow towards wholeness. Just as we expect different behaviors from a baby, a child, a teenager, and an adult, so God expects different behaviors from us depending on our stage of spiritual development. In love, and this is the last point in how we can be perfect, in love, we can see clearly as God loves us. We can be perfect if a behavior is appropriate for our maturity level. Yet, we must have room to grow. We don't get it overnight, people. Our tendency is to sin most. Our tendency to sin must never deter us from striving to make or to be more like Christ. Christ calls all of His disciples to excel, to rise above mediocrity, and to mature in every area, becoming like Him. Those who strive to become perfect will one day be perfect as He is perfect. And this is the scripture, 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 through 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that has this hope in Him pureth himself, even as He is pure. So I'm going to end with this quote from Chip Ingram, and this is from a book, from his book, God as He Longs for You to See Him. And it reads, God's love is His holy disposition toward all that He has created that compels Him to express unconditional affection and selective correction to provide the highest quality of existence, both now and forever, objects of His love. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You for this opportunity to come before You. I thank You for this topic. I thank You for sharing this information with us and giving us direction and guidance. I pray for everyone that has been on the line, that will be on the line, and that will hear this blog. Father God, heal, deliver, and set Your people free, Father God. Deliver them right now. Heal and deliver, God. Heal this land. You said, if My people, which are called by My name, would humble themselves and pray. God, we need to humble ourselves and pray. We need to ask for Your forgiveness of our sins. God, forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of our unrighteousness, God, that we may come to the throne and boldly ask for Your forgiveness. Not Thy will, God, but Thine be done. Even in the midst of trouble, even in the midst of violence, God, Let us learn to forgive our enemies. Let us learn to forgive and heal in the name of Jesus. Father God, as we seek to give you the highest place in our lives, as we seek, God, to live right, as we seek to love you more, as we live in this violent world, as we live in this violent time, I pray even now for each and every one, God, even those that have lost their lives, I pray for the family members in the name of Jesus. The shooting that happened in Aurora on yesterday, Father God, I pray right now, God, for those families. I pray even for the shooter's family, even for his soul, in the name of Jesus. God, our people are dying, God, and Father God, you love them. You wish that nobody would perish, but everybody would have everlasting life. And I pray, God, that you show them your love, God. Help us to love more. Help us to love, God, and forgive those that have despitefully used us, God. Give us the ability to forgive. And if we have the ability to forgive, then we can certainly love. And we pray even now, God, that you move like never before. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I pray that everybody that hears this blog don't know where you're sending it to in the name of Jesus. But I pray even now, God, that you will touch, God, that the word of God will convict in the name of Jesus, that they will hear something, God, that makes them say, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to change my life? God, you said the word of God is active in Hebrews 4, God. You know this word will change. I pray, God, that you allow this word to saturate their minds, their souls, their hearts, their spirit in the name of Jesus. I pray for a change right now in the name of Jesus. Have your way in the name of Jesus. You said that your word would not come back void. We believe it. We declare it. We speak those things that is not as though they are. We declare salvation, we declare healing, and we declare a new attitude, new love in the name of Jesus. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Again, this is Dr. Maria Carey coming to you via Amazing Grace Ministries. I'm the president and CEO. Give me a call if you have any concerns, 309-750-7584. If you have a question, don't hesitate to give me a call. And you can also respond if you listen via Facebook and you see it on my Facebook page. You can also click on the link and go straight to this blog, straight to this word, straight to this message, and hear a rhema word of God. Hallelujah. We bless God. We give him all the praise. We worship and adore him. We thank him for what he's doing in our lives, and certainly he's doing something in our lives. I believe that people that they're the saints of God will rise up and take on a new mantle of love, new mantle of loving their enemies and helping in the name of Jesus and imparting nuggets of love to save this dying world. God is on his way back, and we are his ambassadors, and we've got to take it to the street. God is love. God loves you. God loved you enough to die on the cross for your sins. You can also email me, Amazing Grace, or AmazingGracceMin at yahoo.com. I'm going to say it again. AmazingGracceMin at yahoo.com. I want to hear from you. So give me a shout out again. Coffee sip is coming. I want to know your topics. I want to know what you want to discuss, because we want to open up the discussion. Hallelujah. We want to open up the discussion and have a conversation. So again, this is your humble servant, Dr. Maria Carey. I'm signing off. Be blessed. And I talk with you all next week. God bless. Bye.